Okay, guys. Gospel of John, chapter 12. If they're full, you guys can always come back and join us. Yeah. Okay. John chapter 12. We're going to read verses 20 through 33. And just to get a running start here, guys, we left off last time at verse 26. Okay, so after we're done reading this, I'm going to ask you guys what jumps out at you at verses 27 through 33. So be paying attention and just kind of think about big picture stuff or whatever jumps out at you, verses 27 through 33. Let's start in verse 20. So Caleb, go for it. John 12, 20.
Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from the city of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus."
Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus.
And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.
He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal.
If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him.
Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour.
Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.
So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him."
Jesus answered and said, "The voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake." So.
Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out.
And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. All right. So you guys be thinking about 27 through 33. What stuff jumped out at you? Just reminder. I mean, wow. The things leading up to this that we covered last time are. Jesus just really gets to the core of what it takes at a personal level. And, of course, he's the great example of that. But, you know, before he was glorified, he had to die. And unless a grain of wheat falls on the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. If it dies, it bears much fruit. Guys, I don't care any relationship, any way that we're ever going to help anybody else make it to heaven, like, you have to die to yourself in order to draw somebody else to you. You have to die to yourself, actually, in order for Christ to live in you. I do find it interesting. The Scripture tells us to be filled with the Spirit. But how much can the Spirit fill you up if part of you is in the way? You know what I'm saying? The only way to be full of the Spirit is for you to die to yourself. And of course, like I said, Jesus was the ultimate example of that. He goes on and says, "He who loves his life loses it." As long as you're trying to hang on to yourself, that's a sure way to fail. And as long as you're watching out for good old Luke, that's a sure way to make sure that Luke's not going to make it. And at first, this can seem a little paradoxical, but I think it's true. We even see some of these things in everyday life. I used Caleb Gold last time as an example. Snowboarding. You know, if you're going snowboarding, you're up there and you're chickening out. You're holding back. That's when you end up crashing and getting hurt. And if you go for it, I should be talking to John Brands. Like if you're balancing on your bones and going for it, man, you're good to go. But, you know, even like football players or whatever, I remember there was a guy that I was friends with, and acquaintances with in high school, and his dad was a rodeo, big-time rodeo athlete who got paralyzed in, I think it was either bull riding or bronco riding, I can't remember, but basically the last thing he said his dad remembered is he's going off and his hands are out. He's like, ooh, I'm going to break my arms. And he pulled his arms back. So what did he do? Broke his neck. You know, it's just, there's a tendency sometimes to, you want to save yourself. Well, that's how you end up losing. And we even see it in this physical realm. Certainly it's true in the spiritual. You can't have earth and heaven too. Y'all make a choice. And this place, our journey here on this life is perfectly designed for each one of us personally to make sure we make that choice all the way. Heaven or earth? So that's where we left off. Lots of good stuff. And of course, Jesus, like I said, is the perfect example. What, yeah, John.
He was troubled down in his soul. I'm not sure I know what that means.
Yeah. That's a good. So John's already talking about what we're getting from 27 through 33. Jesus was troubled down to his soul. I'm going to talk about that.
Right.
That's a very tremendous pressure.
Well, I was going to say, he didn't really know what was coming, did he? I mean, he knew what was coming with the cross, but did he know what he was about to, what they were going to do? I mean, beating on him and doing what they did, I just couldn't imagine he knew. So,
well, I think he had a pretty good handle from Isaiah 52 and 53 and Psalms.
Yeah, that does give him a pretty good, yeah, so he did.
He had a, and you know, not only physically, but I mean, this is great to think about, because, guys, I have to think about this kind of stuff. And, you know, some of the stuff we're going to come back and talk about, like this stuff, the fact that Jesus went through this, like, helps me personally for anything I'm going through. Like, this is super important. So, did Jesus, I think he did know, and even the fact that he even foresaw the agony that he was going to be in and being separated from the Father. This is not something in any way that the flesh wanted to go through with. No way. And like John said, even troubled down to the soul, like my soul does not want to go through this. Cool.
And then I like the next couple of verses, because you can see his mind was resolute.
Yeah. Amen. He did not stay there, did he? He did not say, what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour?
No way.
No way. For this purpose I came to this out of this hour. Father, glorify your name. I mean, that is, because there is the mindset that going to take for every one of us. Like, this is the, Jesus understood and he showed us how to win. Like, this is the way it's done. So, it's a very good point, Coop. Yeah.
I was basically following that same thing. The focus that he had. And we get distracted the more responsibilities we get. He had so much, the very next comment, but for this purpose, I came to this hour. That's the only way he could do it, is stay focused on it.
Amen. Brad.
I like what the Father has to say there, too. I've both glorified it and will glorify it again.
Mm-hmm. And boy, because God's name was going to be glorified through Christ, through what he went through, and there is a resounding, echoing effect for us throughout our lives, for all the saints, that when we go through suffering in the right ways, there is God will be glorified through that. And we also know what he does for us too. Jesus said earlier, where I am, there my servant will also be. Like, we're going to be glorified too. But like, it's worth it. And suffering, if you can go through suffering, there has to be meaning in that suffering if you're going to get through it. You have to know what that is in order to endure it. Mike.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Well, two things popped out of me. This is the one area where I feel most brotherhood, I guess, with Jesus. It really comes out like he's really tormented. Like he's
really
he's
human.
Struggling. Yeah, he's really
human. Really human.
And he really that really comes through
yep.
about Jesus here. That really encourages me. It's just like he is a man, and there's a lot of people that don't think that's true.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that these times like this, the pain ceases to be pain when there's purpose with it. So that's further encouraging is that the great purpose that he had. Like you said, in just one verse, he's like, he's back on it.
Yep.
Man,
I like it.
I wish I could be more like that. I'm not very mentally tough. I'd probably be lying for a while. And hopefully I get to where I can get up and start moving again. But that's really encouraging.
Yeah, it is. And he is in you. So you are mentally tough. I know that. But yeah. This is that. This is what we're going to talk about tonight, guys. I think we all kind of hit it. Let's just go through it a little bit. You know, the fact that Jesus said, "My soul's become troubled." This was real, very, very, very real. Go back to Isaiah 53, because Mike said a lot of people don't really believe in Jesus' humanity. I mean, they say they do, right? But they really don't. I mean, there's some people who don't believe in his divinity either, but we're not talking about that tonight, okay? Let's just talk about I think a lot of people explain away. Matter of fact, what does 1 John say is the Antichrist? Those who deny what specifically? Jesus coming in the flesh, right? So, you know, if you're familiar at all with Gnosticism, they're not saying like he didn't show up here. They're saying that it wasn't the same flesh we got. You know, he had special stuff. Well, guys, that's a whole bunch of so-called Christianity. I mean, Gnosticism just morphed into Catholicism and all the offshoots of that. But there's even a bunch of Church of Christ people, when it comes down to it, they're going to say, well, you can never overcome sin in the flesh because the flesh is inherently sinful. And in doing that, if you're going to say Jesus was without sin, which, by the way, guys, is very important. The Scripture is adamant about that point. Jesus was without sin. But it's Jesus came in the flesh. So it's possible to be done in a human body. Going through the same things every one of us got to go through. So I think Isaiah 53, there's a hymn. I don't know the title of the hymn right now, but I get these words are ringing in my ears. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. There's the name of the hymn. Nice job, Coop. But, you know, Man of Sorrows, where does that come? What does that mean? Isaiah 53, verse 3. Caleb Cole, you want to read that?
He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and did not esteem him.
Now, sometimes you can read this and you think, well, he's just down in the dumps all the time. That's not the picture you get of Jesus in the New Testament. But Man of Sorrows, this is real. He felt this. He was rejected by men, wasn't he? I think about that. The things that are toughest for me at a personal level, I'm very much a relationship sort of guy, and what hurts me is like friends that turn your back on you. And here Jesus is, knowing that Judas is going to betray him, knowing that all the rest of those guys are going to leave him that night, while all this other stuff's going on. And Jesus, his hour of need, if you will, where is everybody? Man of sorrows, he understands this. Anything that you or I goes through, Jesus understands. Because he's been through it to, I think, the ultimate degree.
The thing I'm wondering here is how some of these people can think that way, you know, or you can't abolish sin or whatever they're thinking, you know. But yet, when we were immersed, the sin was taken away. You know, so where's their thinking at?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do they believe that they were forgiven or not?
They might believe they were forgiven, but they don't believe that it was taken away. They don't believe the sinner died. Let's put it that way. Okay. You know, it is true, guys, the way that sin works in the human heart. Like, once a person chooses to sin, you aren't going to get rid of that on your own. Can't. You have to have Christ. And you have to have a new birth. You have to be born again. And you need the Spirit to renew. You know, all this stuff is... We don't have time to talk about all this tonight, for sure. But the point is, the human body itself is not inherently sinful. Does it lean towards that? Well, anything goes towards the easy way, right? Yeah. Cool.
Oh, that got me thinking about some other things. But I was thinking about the new. We're supposed to be new creatures, so what's new?
Hey, don't ask those kind of questions.
Sorry.
Yeah, what is new? It's a new life, isn't it? And we've been born again, guys, by seed which is imperishable. The living and enduring Word of God. Like, there's a life source within us, right? That's not what we're talking about tonight, but somehow we're on it. Point is, a lot of people want to deny what Jesus went through. But you think, guys, if you contemplate for a moment that night, what you were saying, Dobson, like, did Jesus know what he was going to go through? I mean, you think about that. Jesus, the most mentally tough person that ever was here, and his, after being beat all night, I think the Passion of Christ, personally, I think it does a pretty good job, because Pilate's trying to get him off. He thinks, if we go beat this guy, that's it. Well, you can see in the kind of the way they play it, but you know the ways people, like these guys are. They've been, you know, soldiers or whatever, nothing to do. We got our own stories of American soldiers in places that are bored out of their minds, and they get an opportunity, and they're going to, like, you know the kind of people that are in, they get that opportunity, and they just beat the tar out of him. Now, he still has to go through crucifixion. It looks to me, scripture, like he's got a 3-hour trek carrying that cross. How'd you like to be beat all night and then go run a marathon, Mrs. Moranton? Okay? And, you know, guys, what I'm saying, you think about Jesus, when he has to get help carrying the cross, the body is shutting down. The body is in shock and shutting down. And then you think about Jesus on the cross with all the stuff that the people are saying about him. I'll tell you right now, personally, I know for me, when I am sick, when I am tired, when I am hungry, those are the times that my attitude, I realize my inner man's got some work to do still. Okay? You can't be more sick, tired, hungry, hurting than Jesus was on that cross. And he is perfect. He hits it out of the park. But then, almost like some things, to know this thing is coming ahead of time is in some ways almost worse. They anticipate, you know what's coming. And his soul is troubled. What were you going to say?
I was just thinking, well, first, you know, I read this medical account, and they said that they believe it was heart failure that went think of just how much sorrow, I mean, he was very familiar with that, and I think, I mean, it's the relationships that he had. I mean, he really genuinely felt something for people, you know, because why else would you endure all that?
Why else would you do that?
Yeah, so I just think about that, and, you know, sometimes we don't want to go through certain things. I mean, think, oh, I don't want to go through the sorrow of it or the heartache of it, you know, just to, so that we can protect ourselves, and I think it's important that we still keep in those relationships.
Amen.
You know, so to me, that's one of the things that kind of stand out.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. I mean, at any level, guys, love is, if you're going to love somebody, you're vulnerable. There's an opportunity to be hurt. There's an opportunity to be, and so a lot of people just not put up the walls and, you know, C.S. Lewis said it pretty good. The problem is somewhere you lock that heart away in that casket somewhere, and sure enough, it doesn't get broken, but it becomes unbreakable, impenetrable, like unlovable. And you know, as soon as you choose to love, you're vulnerable. But Christ did, and there's times I've been like, I wish stuff didn't hurt so bad when people don't make it, and people, you know, and I've tried to find a way to like escape the, like to just kind of go through the emotions maybe with people or whatever and help them, but not be hurt when they, whatever they do or don't do. And I can't do it. God doesn't have it set up that way. And Jesus is the perfect example of that. So, you know, I think, guys, this is, like Mike was saying, this is really where he feels brotherhood with Christ. We get to see this, and we get to focus in on Jesus, what he felt, and what he did to overcome. It is real. I'm not going to, for the sake of time, hit these scriptures, but you guys know Hebrews 2, 17 through 18, that he was made like his brethren in all things. Okay. Let's actually go to Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, because Mikhail, you want to read those? Hebrews 4, 15 and 16.
Mm-hmm. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay. So, guys, do you think we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses? Another thought I got from C.S. Lewis coming to my mind. You know, there's people who, well, let's just take an addict. You know, somebody who's an addict, and they, you don't understand. You know, you don't understand what this it's like to have this kind of pull, have this kind of temptation, to have this kind of, and basically C.S. Lewis says that way, basically he's saying, you give in so quickly. You're the one who doesn't understand what it's like to fight temptation. Okay. What it's like to fight temptation is to fight it, and to fight it, and to fight it, and to fight it, and to overcome it, and to overcome. You know, and so basically, C.S. Lewis says, in that sense, Jesus is only the only true realist. Because he was tempted and never, ever lost. You remember when Jesus has Peter, James, John there? When is, you know, a little bit later? And he going, and he has them, hey, stay, watch and pray, right? Yeah. But there's, why did they fall asleep? Well, it says like they were heavy with grief. Like they didn't know what was coming all the way, but they got enough. They were sad. And so they're supposed to watch and pray so they wouldn't enter into temptation. Instead, they're falling asleep because of the sorrow. And then the temptation came and they lost. Okay. Jesus is praying with sweat like drops of blood. Like that's why he was able to overcome too. Leah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a good reminder, I might have mentioned it before, but Jesus would have had to be tempted more than us.
Exactly.
I mean, this is Satan's shot.
Exactly.
He's got to stop him. So he has been tempted more than any of us can imagine. And the cross itself is one of probably the greatest.
Yep.
Because, I mean, he had to have a good attitude the whole time.
Exactly.
In fact, they're so worried about him, he's like,
This is a beautiful thing too that I like. That thief on the cross, guys, because of Jesus and the way he is, that guy comes to his senses and his soul gets saved by Jesus. So even right there in that moment, Jesus cares enough about the individual hanging next to him. It's that same love is what I'm saying that he had for all of us and for all of humanity, but it's very clearly experienced and felt by that guy hanging on the cross next to him. Saves the guy's soul.
When he could call 10,000 angels, was that the same thing as the faith that can move mountains?
Yeah, Jesus had the power to do that.
But he said, I basically said, we have that power.
Yeah.
If we have that faith.
Right. But he didn't take that, did he? He didn't take the... I think it's actually... 72,000 angels. The song, we changed it to 10,000 angels, make it easy to sing. That's 72,000 angels.
But what I'm getting at is he's not the only one that could call angels.
True.
It's his faith as a human that enabled him to call those angels, right?
Right.
So...
I find this interesting, John. I'm glad you bring this up. So, we are not going to get through this tonight, but this is fun, okay?
Because think about it. If a grenade dropped in the middle here, and
Mikkel jumps on it?
Yeah.
Oh, I would jump on him, buddy.
You can say, oh, I got to save all you guys that are in front of me, you could see that physically. But Jesus jumped on a grenade for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Not just people you see here.
Right.
Where he saw in front of him, but everybody in the world.
Yeah.
Every single person.
For thousands of years.
All of us losers.
Yeah.
Really? He did that for us.
That's... I don't know. People do jump on grenades, but they don't... no one else has ever jumped on or been sacrificed like that for the entire world.
Right.
What he did.
Amen. Yeah, and the scripture, even Romans 5, talks about that and says, one will...
He knew he was jumping on that grenade.
Yeah. He knew it ahead of time, and he's still going through with it. And for these people? That's Romans 5 makes that point. You would... Lots of people do it for the righteous man.
The point is that humans do that,
Yeah.
That's part of our humanity.
Yeah. And it's part of... And Jesus just executed it.
Yeah.
Fully, so... I'm going to go back to what you were saying about the angels part. I find it interesting when Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, after Jesus successfully completes the temptation, then an angel comes and ministers to him. I'm sure brings him food, right? Because it's been 40 days, 40 nights.
Was it one angel?
Angels. Right, came and ministered to him. And then, after Jesus, when he's praying, and he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Okay? Then an angel from heaven comes and strengthens him. So he could have called those 72,000 angels to keep from going to the cross. Those guys had come and helped him before. But he doesn't do it because he's going to jump on that grenade for us. But guys, I believe this, and I think this is very... The Lord sends us supernatural strength when we choose to do what's right. But you can't expect it before You can't expect that help to come in your moment of decision. You know what I'm saying? You have to decide. I have to decide. We have to follow through. We've said, I'm going to do this no matter what. And the Lord strengthens us. You know, I was thinking about Michael Conover right now. We're praying that, you know, he can finish strong and go faithfully. But guys, through process of death, man, God perfects us. He finishes that perfecting of us. And he has, and you don't, Jesus didn't get to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He got to say that after he went through the cross. And that's true for every one of us. You don't get to, we don't get to opt out ahead of time. Whatever it is that God has in front of us, we get to go through that. And we get to say, not my will, but yours be done. Brad.
That has been a big temptation. You know, this is probably what she was talking about a little bit earlier. But that was a big temptation probably on Christ to just say, nah. You know, forget it.
Yeah.
They're not worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well.
I mean, that temptation had to have been there, you know.
Right.
He just overcame that.
Yep.
Real fast.
Yep. Let's talk about that a little bit too, because that mindset. I mean, I like the fact that the scripture shows us both. So this is, my soul's become troubled. John, you said it so good. Like, he's troubled all the way down to the soul. Like, he's feeling this in the soul. This is real. And I'm thankful the scripture shows us that. But I'm also thankful the scripture tells us, how did he get through that? What's he say? What shall I say? Father, save me. Bail me out, Lord. Father, bail me out. Sometimes I got to admit. That's what I'm for. He says, no. Yeah, my soul wants to say, Father, what, but he said, but no.
No,
for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. God, I know this is the means by which your name's going to be glorified. And this is why I came. This is why I've been sent. This is what I'm going to do. So, help me power through. Man, what a mindset, guys. Purpose. Purpose puts power in your life. And I will strongly encourage me and each of the rest of you here, individually, we have to get in tune with the purpose that we have from the Lord. Or when these moments of truth come, and it comes, I think moments of truth come in our lives, we won't be able to power through. In one sense, it's simple. Our purpose is to glorify the Father. I mean, if that's the only thing you can hold on to that. Jesus says that, Father, glorify your name. That is our purpose here. You can think about it yourself specifically, what that is to go, but Jesus, man, he turned his mind to the things above, didn't he? Isn't that what the scripture tells us to do? Set your mind on things above. Because if you get trapped down here, seeing stuff from down here, you kind of lose. And Satan is, boy, he's crafty. I mean, he is good at pitching it. The bad stuff to look good and the good stuff to look bad.
Yeah, it's like the difference between him jumping on a grenade right here with all this in here, or him alone, and the grenade drops there. And he's... still has the mindset, well, if I jump on it, I'm going to save many more people. You know, wouldn't, that'd be weird to do.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to do.
It'd be really hard to do.
Because we don't see God. We're not, I mean, he's not physically there, so.
Right. I do think that's what this boils down to, guys. I really do. I think our whole life here, in our existence on this planet, is, are we going to choose the spiritual over the physical.
You can either jump or run.
Yeah. And he wishes to save his life. You get a little ways down a kaboom when you get, you're gone anyways, right? but you know, this is, and the Lord shows us. I mean, I like that Jesus went through it, and he shows us.
Another
right?
Wild thought on it too is.
Did you say wild thought?
A wild thought.
I know some of Bradshaw's wild thoughts. Thing, you know. Hey, what wasn't it back in the wasn't it your heyday in the 70s, dude?
What's that?
Anyways.
What's cool about it then is he jumped on that grenade for his enemies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What did he say?
For his enemies.
Jumped on that grenade for his enemies. Now that's wild.
The hero dies for the villain, right? It's amazing stuff. It is great to think about. And, you know, I think, guys, something else we got to be real on. And I think I'm thankful for these scriptures because it was Jesus' past preparation, too, that empowered him. That when this moment came, he was ready. He was able to. You know, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 5 that Jesus learned obedience from the things which he suffered. There's a progression in his life. You see it when he's 12 years old, goes back with his parents. He continued to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with men. Like Jesus was growing. He was preparing. And every one of us right now, currently, we are either preparing to fail or we're preparing to win by what we're doing or by what we're not doing. I don't think I have to preach at you guys on this, but we have to be really real about this. These moments come in our lives to define. They're going to define who we are. Are we interested in God's glory? Are we interested in saving ourselves? So, when those moments come, are you ready to deal with them in the right way? Or what have you been preparing yourself for? You know, we could just say Romans 12 too. So,
can I throw one in real quick?
You bet. You know, I do think sometimes too it helps you in your perspective when you understand whatever it is that you're fighting through. You can sometimes feel pretty alone in that. You know, maybe Jesus in the garden, for example, Brad, you were saying those thoughts, you know, it's not worth it, it's not, you know, but you can feel pretty alone in that. But to realize, guys, your choice to step up and do what's right, other people's salvation too. Like you're going to help other people be saved through your choice. This isn't just you. There's other souls that are on the line in these things. So, and then there's the voice that comes, right? And the people don't understand it. You know, the voice comes from heaven. I both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Jesus says, you know, this voice wasn't for my sake, it's for your sakes. And I think specifically, guys, one of the reasons this voice came was for the sake of the apostles. That they would be able to look back on this and see God was there with him. The Father was there with him. He's going to help him through. And afterwards, yes, everything that he had promised did truly come about. Somebody said earlier, I don't know which of you guys, Mike, I think, but you know, pain has to have a purpose. You know, suffering has to have a purpose. And because with otherwise, I think, I know Steve Doty's preached on, I can't remember the guy's name right now. Viktor Frankl, I believe, who taught me, like he basically finding the meaning in suffering. And he talked about like being in prison, you know, in prison camp, and like why do some people are just like they tank, like they're totally done, and other people seem to thrive under that. And what was it that separated? Like, why would people be able to thrive in that environment and keep going? And the people that did that, they had a purpose. They had a meaning in that. They found a meaning in that suffering. They had a purpose they were able to clearly see. And that's why they were able to endure that. Well, doesn't Jesus tell us, or doesn't the Scripture tell us to fix our eyes on Jesus? The author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Like, we're supposed to fix our eyes on him and also follow his example. And that, you know, 1 Peter is all about suffering. And it's not, by the way, just for free, it's not about suffering for doing what's wrong. It's suffering for doing what's right. But there's a meaning behind the suffering, you know. And it is. I mean, the Scripture says so clearly about Jesus. He died for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You think about this. Rewind the tape. What if Jesus opts out here? Where are we all at? Okay. Now, isn't it make sense now that we have his Spirit in us, that we would be willing to do the same for somebody else, the just for the unjust, to bring them to God? Well,
Just on that point about that voice coming is for the disciples, the apostles. You know, Jesus knew who he was. There was no doubt in his mind who he was.
Exactly.
And it's just a good reminder for us that, you know, we are chosen, you know, and so we should know who we are now.
Amen. So. Amen. Yeah, I'm not even going to get to hit this last part, but judgment's upon the world. The world of this world is going to be cast out like Satan through Christ. Death, resurrection, ascension. Satan got cast down. He's the ruler of this world, guys. That means anybody outside the kingdom. But then Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. It's the same principle for us. Christ did it. And I don't want to, like, I'm not saying we're going to ever, any of us are going to pay the price for the sins of other people. But Paul says in Colossians, he talks about, in his body, like basically bearing that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. I don't think it means Christ didn't suffer enough. It means Paul was saying, he hadn't suffered this much yet in his life. But it's the same principle, guys. This is how people come to God, is through seeing Christ in us. And so hopefully for all of us, whatever it is that we go through or are going to go through, like we can learn from Jesus. It's okay to say to the Father, my soul's become troubled. Like, that's a real thing. We're not talking about denying that or pretending that's not true. But what are we going to do? Father, save me from this hour? No. For this purpose, I came to this. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for using me as an example that's going to help other people come to you. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm just going to hit the last thing from last week. When we die to ourself, we're alive. That's the most alive we ever are. And eternal life, guys, is we died to ourselves. We gave up earth. And we're rewarded with heaven. It's worth it. Every tough moment, it is worth it. Paul says, man, he says, he calls it momentary light affliction. He says not even worthy to be compared with the glory that's like on the scale, guys. It ain't even going to show up. So it's worth it. All right. Thanks for all your chipping in. We didn't follow the notes at all, but I think we talked about important stuff, so let's go. John, can I have you close us to Lord's Prayer, bud?
Oh, great God in heaven, we do praise you, hold you on the highest. And, Lord, we know you are the one that has created the universe. You're the God of God, Lord of Lords, and pray that Jesus would be mind would be our mind this week as we go through this world, and that others would see it, and that they would come to you. And Lord, grant us the strength, courage, and wisdom to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.